Welcome to Winning STL, where we have conversations about how St. Louis can best compete and win in the battle for talent, jobs, growth, and equity. Winning STL is presented by Purina, who creates richer lives for pets and the people who love them, and is proudly called St. Louis home since 1894. Today we are at Spark St. Louis, a co-working and meeting space located in Ballpark Village. Joining me today is Shane Perpiesel, Chief Operating Officer of STJ Group Holdings, which includes Global Food Market, United Provisions, The King and I, and Chowbon, just to name a few. Shane, thanks so much for joining today.
Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
So Shane, you were the COO of STJ Group Holdings. So people might not know what that is, but I think they know the restaurants and grocery stores it represents. So talk to us about it.
Yeah, so my parents were very creative when they named our company. It's the first initial of my name, my sister's name, and my brother's name. But we have six businesses here in the St. Louis region. We have two international supermarkets, Global Foods Market in Kirkwood, United Provisions in the Del Mar Loop, and we have two Thai restaurants. Probably the most well-known is, we like to say, the first Thai restaurant in St. Louis, The King and I, which was on South Grand for almost 25 years, and we recently relocated to Richmond Heights. We have Chowbon Restaurant, which is a regional restaurant focusing on Northeastern Thai food, which is in the Grove. And then our two Japanese restaurants are Oishi Sushi in Creve Coeur and Oishi Steakhouse in the Chesterfield Valley. And I always say that COO is a really fancy term of saying what I do, what my parents don't want to do. So, you know, they have a grandkid now, so they're thinking about maybe slowing down one day. But yeah, I think it's a very different business that my dad started in the late 70s with his first grocery store to where we are now in 2026. And, you know, there's just grocery is a really, really tough business. Restaurants are incredibly tough business. And so I think it's a testament that we've been able to be in business as long as we have. What I think that's also unique about St. Louis as well, though, is, I actually have it's a stressful job. I'm not going to lie, but I actually have many peers in a similar position where they are part of their family's second, third, fourth generation business. And that is really something unique about St. Louis. I joke to my friends who come to visit, and I said, you know, you see all these grocery stores, you know, they're people's last names, right? They're still in the business.
Steerberg's come to mind.
Exactly. This is not a Publix. This is not a whatever. These are, you know, third, fourth, fifth generation businesses. I think that's really unique about St. Louis.
So, like Chowbon, I saw that's really regional Thai food. So it's getting more sophisticated. It's saying there's more than pad Thai, and there's more than just kind of what a lot of Americans associate with Thai food. There's different areas of a big country and different regional food styles. Is that right?
I think that's completely correct, and not just with Thai food. We are seeing a huge influx of really regional Chinese restaurants in the St. Louis region. You know, so it's not just, you know, what people consider American Chinese food, but there's now a Sichuanese restaurant. There's restaurants from Dongbei in northern China. And so, I think that is reflective of St. Louisans both being curious and seeking it out. It's kind of the melding of people from around the world coming to St. Louis and being able to open these successful restaurants that cater to that type of really specific cuisine. It's funny to think, you know, when my parents first immigrated, 45 years ago, that St. Louis would be welcoming to these types of establishments and cuisines. And I think just goes to show how much St. Louis has changed since they've come here, since people have come and left, but it gets a reputation for being kind of very tradition bound. It is in many good aspects, but St. Louis is, to me, ever evolving.
How have you seen the palates change here in terms of what people are open to trying and that maybe 20 years ago you'd say no chance?
I mean, I think that we wouldn't be as successful as we've been or been able to open as many businesses if those palates have not changed. My dad always tells this really funny anecdote of, again, being the first Thai restaurant in St. Louis, we actually took over an old Chinese restaurant. So we kept the menu for a couple months because people were still not really familiar with what Thai cuisine was, and to kind of introduce it to people, we'd have to give away free samples. So people would order their, you know, General Tso's chicken or lo mein.
Okay.
And my dad would be like, here's this dish, it's called pot Thai. And it was completely foreign to people. This is also 1983. So it's funny to think of pot Thai being, not people not being familiar with it.
Exactly.
But that's how he had to do it. And over time, you know, we introduced more and more Thai items to the menu. And now I think this is a great thing for St. Louis. You can't drive 10 minutes in any direction without running into a Thai restaurant.
It's funny you say that. I remember being in college visiting friends in New York City, and we went to Thai food, and I thought it was the most exotic thing. Pad Thai,
yeah.
and whatever the other basic probably dishes were. Now you just don't think twice about it. It's almost like pizza or a burger. We're going to get some pad Thai. We're going to get some Thai food.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing, you know, kind of a, you know, for our grocery stores, for example, when we first opened, we primarily catered to those populations, whether they were immigrants or refugees or relocating, selling to those particular communities. And we've been able to grow our business by, again, selling to the whole region. So I think you ask any St. Louis family now in 2026, you know, Monday night's taco night, Tuesday night's meatloaf, Wednesday night's Indian food. So I think just the evolution of the American palate in general has, and people have traveled more, right?
That's a good point.
Have so many customers who said, we just got back from Thailand or Japan or Brazil, and we love this dish. We want to either, you know, learn how to make it or find stuff to make it, and we're able to provide that for them. And so, again, that's just a really neat thing to see that, you know, we never really anticipated this, but that's how we've been able to continue to maintain and grow our business.
Let's talk about that business and your family. And it starts with an immigration story, doesn't it? So tell us yours, your family's.
That's right. So my dad immigrated. This is a very, you know, I feel like everyone's family, whether it's, you know, 25 years ago or 100 years ago, has a similar story. It's the American story. But yeah, my dad came to St. Louis to study. He had one brother already here in St. Louis, and he opened a small grocery called, at the time, J. Asia Foods. And my dad came over to study at St. Louis University, quickly ran out of money. And so obviously he had to find a way to make a living. And so, you know, in the morning he had to work at a donut shop. Then from 9 to 5, he'd work at a machine tool shop. In the evenings, he was a busboy at Al's Restaurant on the North Riverfront.
Yeah.
You know, and then he would, in the wintertime, go around selling, when we had phone books, the big yellow pages for cents a phone book. And so, you know, he and his brother scrimped and saved enough to continue to operate J Asia. You know, that continued to kind of expand. My mom settled in the Chicago area where her family had settled at the time. And then they met through the Thai community in the Midwest, which at the time was not very large. And I think they did a coin flip of where to settle, and my dad was like, "Oh, let's try St. Louis for like a year or two, and if you hate it, we'll go to Chicago." And you know, my mom, coming from Chicago, was like, "This is a provincial town. We'll see." But then I came along, and like many St. Louisans, just realized that it's a great place to raise a family.
Absolutely.
So I think now it's funny to think they've been in this St. Louis longer than they've spent time in Thailand.
Wow. So, I mean, obviously this is home to them. I think where you raise your kids does very much become your home. And something you said caught my ear, which is your father's experience, even though he wasn't from here, a very relatable and very American experience. A student running out of money, trying to figure out what to do, working lots of jobs. I think it's distinctly American. It's distinctly what maybe my relatives did, like you said, maybe 100 years earlier. So tell me, what do you think the role of immigration should be in St. Louis?
With St. Louis specifically, I think, you know, there's a professor, Ness Sandoval, at St. Louis University, who's always talking about this. And I think, you know, everyone knows that we're a shrinking region. For a variety of factors, but, you know, there's the fact of the matter is there's not enough people either moving to St. Louis or having children to offset our population loss.
Yep.
And I talked to friends in other industries, not just mine, but you know, a shrinking region is a you know, it's going to affect everybody's quality of life, whether it's the economy or what have you. You know, there's so many unfilled positions that you know, people are advertising for that just can't be filled. And so what I think St. Louis has been very good at for a long, long time is attracting new waves of immigrants, refugees, and eventually new Americans. So you think about the Vietnamese resettlement after the Vietnam War in the 70s. Then you have the Bosnian resettlement in the 90s. And every time that's happened, it's reinvigorated the city and the region. The fact that there's a Yemeni coffee shop in Wildwood, like these are good things, you know.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, I think we want to kind of follow where the population's going. At the same time, though, again, being very intentional about our growth, but you know, I think we're placing a bet on St. Louis. We'd like to grow, and for that to happen, we would love, you know, the powers that be, the other stakeholders, whether that's government, the nonprofit sector, what have you, all kind of work together in tandem to make people choose St. Louis, as opposed to having to be, you know, I think there we kind of have this chip on our shoulder. Well, you know, you're in St. Louis, it's because you couldn't cut it in Chicago or Nashville or New York or what have you, but you know, I'm talking to folks kind of my age. I'm an elder millennial, but a lot of my peers are choosing St. Louis, and that I think has been a newer development that I've noticed. These folks could really be anywhere, but they're choosing St. Louis, and I want to kind of pick their brain, and be like, okay, well, I want to know why, because clearly we're not doing a good job of communicating that to the rest of the country. There's so many young chefs who have told me they're like, I could not take this risk somewhere else. But I could take this risk here, and now their restaurants are being written up in the New York Times and national food publications.
We've seen a lot of that.
Because, you know, they were able to take that risk without completely mortgaging their future.
Right. I mean, and so in a way, I mean, try doing that in New York City. I get that somebody's opening new restaurants in New York City, but that's a heavy lift.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard enough to do it here, but it seems like a little more attainable.
I think that's right.
I think our affordability and our city infrastructure, city culture and regional culture that we have is a real selling point that people just don't know.
You can start a career and a family and do big things and then be recognized at the national level. That, you know, we've already talked about, you know, some of the great things that, you know, WashU and our chefs from our food scene have already accomplished, but you can own your home. You know, you can actually, you know, have that work-life balance.
It's not just, it's a cheap place. It's an interesting place that you can afford. Your friends of yours, New York, Bay Area, from wherever. Where are you taking them that might be a little beyond the arch and the brewery tour? Where are you taking them?
So I've taken friends around from New York and the Bay Area and from around the world to come here. And they're completely just blown away by the amount of things we have to do. Sometimes the either little to no cost, the ability to like walk into a great restaurant and get a table, you know, the livability, the green space. I think to eat, I would take them to Balkan Treat Box, which just won a huge award. But I think part of it that is that not a lot of people are too familiar with Bosnian food in general. I think, you know, the World Cup just ended. I kept hearing during the broadcast that I think outside of Sarajevo, you know, the St. Louis region along with Chicago is home to the largest Bosnian diaspora in St. Louis. So you may be living in the Bay Area or Chicago or wherever, but like to have that a Bosnian restaurant of that caliber,
okay,
you know, in Webster, 10 minutes from my house, you know, showing them that Nick Bogner at Sado and Pavilion, you know, I've had friends say, like, this is the best sushi I've ever had.
In St. Louis, Missouri, that you might not associate being that such high quality.
Exactly. And so those are kind of where I would take them to eat. But we have a world-class art museum.
Yes, we do.
And, you know, the collections that come through, the fact that it's free. You know, I get it. I think, telling the story, I think St. Louis, people forget that. St. Louis is an old city. You know, we're older than Chicago, you know. It's the most West East Coast city.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the brick, the way it's laid out.
The immigration patterns.
Yeah, the architecture.
Yeah.
You know, I've had both pleasure and annoyance of owning two homes now that have both been about 110 years old. So really cool to own an old house. Not great when stuff breaks.
When something breaks, yes.
But, you know, again, I was able to own a home in my late 20s and be a homeowner now. And you know, I just know, especially with young people, that is the biggest tension, anxiety that a lot of folks have. They want to own, but, you know, in so many parts of the country, you can't.
I will tell you, I have a friend of mine from St. Louis. I think he now lives in Chicago. And he said that living in St. Louis is like playing the video game on the easier setting. And I like that. It means less time in traffic. Less time trying to find a place to park, less time, just less hassle and an ability to enjoy some of the great things that, that city living offers that we have here.
I think right now, if you ask anyone from a CEO to someone who's just getting their first job, the most valuable asset that anyone has right now is time.
Yeah.
The time you get to spend with your loved ones.
That's a great point.
The time for leisure, the time, you know, and if you're in, if your commute takes you 20 minutes versus, you know, I have a friend that lives in Atlanta, 45 minutes is considered a pretty quick commute, right? Or you know, having to trek across town, like we're legitimately 15 minutes away from most things here. So just having that time back and whatever way people choose to spend it, you know, I just know that, that for a lot of folks, that's just, that's what we miss the most.
I think we've just made a tourism video for St. Louis, which I'd be happy to do because the place is great. Shane, I want to thank you so much. It's a really great story. I think it's a distinctly American story. I think it's a story about how St. Louis has evolved. It's fantastic. So thank you so much for
coming
here.
Thanks, Ian. I appreciate you having
me. Really, really enjoyed it.